Hello, and welcome to the First Samuel podcast. This is Vicki Durr.
And this is Hillary Madison.
And we are talking about 1 Samuel 14, 24 through 52. There's a lot of interesting things in this. We're going to read it in a second. But first, I just have to say, when I read this, I immediately thought of when I was a child and my mom would be frustrated with us kids because we hadn't hung our coats up in the middle of winter. So she was going to hide our coats. So she made this very big, frustrated, dramatic statement, which we'll see in the reading that Saul makes some big, dramatic, frustrated statements. Now, I think my mom's heart was probably a little more pure than Saul. I think I can say that.
Yeah, that's not too judgy.
You're good. I think so. I think that she was frustrated. We needed to hang our coats. We didn't. She was going to hide them. She never did, but she definitely threatened it often. Mm-hmm. You got any fun threats from your childhood, Hillary?
Well, it was probably more of a threat of cause and effect.
Okay.
You know, I was sitting on a counter. I think I was under six. I'm not sure. And there was a hard floor. And I was just kind of being antsy, you know.
I cannot imagine.
Getting close to falling. Probably made my mom nervous. So she says, Hillary, if you fall off and hit your head there, it's going to split open like a cantaloupe.
Wow.
So that creates a visual.
It sure does. That I can't unsee.
I mean, if anything, it kind of reminds me of how rabbis would use crazy exaggerations.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll throw in that nice thing. It's a little bit like rabbis.
Okay, but we're not saying Saul is anywhere near a rabbi.
No, we're not saying that. Or our mothers. The big difference here, and maybe it's a thin thread we're connecting.
It might be.
Is that Saul is really, really impulsive, and he likes to create a lot of drama.
Yeah.
But with our moms, it wasn't self-serving. With Saul, as we're going to see, it was completely self-serving.
Yeah. That is also another good distinction, because really, hang up your coats, children. It's okay.
It's a good lesson.
It is. And don't fall off the counter.
Yeah.
Another good lesson.
My brother did crack his head open by flinging himself back, accidentally hitting his head on concrete.
Yeah. How'd that work out for him?
Oh, it was fine. He had a bit of a hospital stay, but the key takeaway is my mom never used the cantaloupe line on him.
Wow. So he missed it.
Uh-huh.
He missed the powerful, dramatic thing that could have saved him getting hurt. Well, we're going to switch gears now and read the passage. I'm going to read the first half. Hillary's going to read the second half. And here we go. Now the Israelites were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, "Cursed be anyone who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. The entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. When they went into the woods, they saw the honey oozing out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with the oath, so he reached out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers told him, "Your father bound the army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be anyone who eats food today.' That is why the men are faint." Jonathan said, "My father has made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted a little of this honey? How much better it would have been if the men had eaten today some of the plunder they took from their enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have even been greater?" That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Ajalon, they were exhausted. They pounced on the plunder, and taking sheep, cattle, and calves, they butchered them on the ground and ate them, together with the blood. Then someone said to Saul, "Look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that has blood in it." "You have broken faith," he said. "Roll a large stone over here at once." Then he said, "Go out among the men and tell them, 'Each of you bring me your cattle and sheep and slaughter them here and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood still in it.'" So everyone brought his ox that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time he had done this. Saul said, "Let us go down and pursue the Philistines by night and plunder them till dawn, and let us not leave one of them alive." Do whatever seems best to you, they replied. But the priest said, let us inquire of God here.
So Saul asked God, shall I go down and pursue the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hand? But God did not answer him that day. Saul therefore said, come here, all you who are leaders of the army, and let us find out what sin has been committed today. As surely as the Lord who rescues Israel lives, even if the guilt lies with my son Jonathan, he must die. But not one of them said a word. Saul then said to all the Israelites, you stand over there, I and Jonathan my son will stand over here. Do what seems best to you, they replied. Then Saul prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant today? If the fault is in me or my son Jonathan, respond with Urim. But if the men of Israel are at fault, respond with Thummim. Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot, and the men were cleared. Saul said, cast a lot between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. So Jonathan told him, I tasted a little honey with the end of my staff, and now I must die. Saul said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan. But the men said to Saul, should Jonathan die, he who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he did this today with God's help. So the men rescued Jonathan. He was not put to death. Then Saul stopped pursuing the Philistines, and they withdrew to their own land. After Saul had assumed rule over Israel, he fought against their enemies on every side, Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment on them. He fought valiantly and defeated the Amalekites, delivering Israel from the hands of those who had plundered them. Saul's sons were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. The name of his older daughter was Merab, and that of the younger was Michal. His wife's name was Ahinoam, daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the commander of Saul's army was Abner, son of Ner, and Ner was Saul's uncle. Saul's father, Kish, and Abner's father, Ner, were sons of Abiel. All the days of Saul, there was bitter war with the Philistines, and whenever Saul saw a mighty or brave man, he took him into his service.
Good job with those names.
Thank you.
So what do you think? There's a lot.
Yeah, and I thought of another thing while you're reading it.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see if I remember it by the time we get to it.
Yeah, that's the key.
All right. At first glance, I thought it was kind of dumb that Saul is telling him not to eat anything until he had avenged. I don't know what exactly he's avenging. And I read the beginning of the chapter. But then I remembered that there have been times where God has instructed his followers to do things that really didn't seem like they were going to be helpful. But then God came through, fought the battle for them, and therefore it was kind of God honoring. This to me seems like an impulsive way of Saul to make things all be Saul honoring.
Very good point, because he definitely made a lot of things about him.
Right.
And for him.
Right. He had a hard time having somebody else in the spotlight with his insecurities.
Right. And it's kind of funny. I think about, were all of his soldiers like behind his back? Like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do this? And I even think Jonathan potentially maybe was feeling some of those feelings.
Yeah.
Because what was he doing? What was he thinking on some of his choices? One thing that stuck out to me, though, and I'm still trying to figure out what the Lord might have in this for me, is that when the priest reminds Saul, let's ask the Lord what we should do. And Saul is like, oh yeah, oh yeah, that's right. We're going to do that. And because God doesn't respond right away, Saul, his natural response is, oh, there must be a sin issue. There must be a reason. And it's not my sin issue. It's somebody else's. So let's check with the men and see who sinned.
Right. And I think it's partly the ambiguity too. He couldn't handle waiting that long. Because he needed to have instant answers that, you know, held him up in this position that he thought he deserved. But the one thing I thought of was he makes the assumption that somebody sinned.
Right.
And somebody sinned because God's not answering, right? So then he's like, well, let's see who sinned. But Jonathan didn't sin against the Lord. It was oath by Saul.
And a dumb oath by that.
Yeah, really.
I think we have a section of scripture with lots of dumb oaths.
We can make a list.
It seems like Saul's insecurities were kind of his boss. They really informed a lot of his decisions, it seems. They told him what he should do, what he shouldn't do. And obviously that is a thing. I don't make so many oaths. Mm-hmm. My kids might have a different opinion. I maybe said, hide their winter coats. I don't remember. I don't struggle with making dumb oaths, but I definitely struggle with my insecurities, maybe making decisions for me, and I don't even realize it.
I think everybody is guilty of that because we all have insecurities.
Right.
The problem when I believe when the insecurities are the ones that you're making the decisions according to, one, you're putting the insecurities in the position of God.
Right. That's so good.
And everything that goes along with that. But also you're constantly, you know, worried about being toppled over.
Yes. You know, like, I think you even used at one point in our conversation that you build a house of cards.
Right. In order to bolster up, you know, yourself and protect yourself from the, you know, the potential of, you know, losing that sense of security about who you are and so on.
Right. I feel really proud of us that we were able to dig something out of this passage.
Yeah.
Right?
Me too.
It was a hard fought nugget.
It was a, we mined for those. Oh my gosh.
We absolutely did.
Yeah.
Do you have any other reflections, Hillary? What do you think?
Nope. Just to get back to the drama though, it was like whenever things weren't going Saul's way or there was an inkling that maybe Saul wouldn't be exalted or whatever, he creates a drama story to distract and then to shift the blame.
Right.
So very unlike our moms.
Very unlike our moms because they are not like Saul.
Yep. Those were good teaching moments.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe Steve would have never gone out with you if you left your coat on the floor all the time.
Right. Because that could have changed the trajectory of everything.
And maybe
if she had hidden my coat.
Maybe I would have cracked my head open like a cantaloupe if I hadn't been careful.
Right. And then maybe you would have had stitches and then a bald spot. And then would Kyle have been like, ooh, I don't know.
I don't know. He's not too, you know, shallow too, like that.
Yeah, I guess. You're right.
I should try that out.
Yeah,
shave part of my head, see what Kyle has to say about that.
I'm sure it'll be totally fine. Hey, do you want to wrap us up with a prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us your Bible and all these stories that we can go through and gain wisdom from, even if we have to kind of hunt it down a little bit. And thank you that we can be in community where we can talk about these things that don't seem obvious at first with other people and with friends so that we gain a greater understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Hillary.
Thanks, Vicki.
And have a great day.
You too.